Okay, good evening, everybody. So we are back. I apologize for my being away for the last couple of weeks, but let's get started. So two shilas that came up over the course of the past few weeks. So both of these are California shilas. I was in California for 5 days. I was in Israel for 2 days, but then California for 5 days. So a couple of shilas came up in California. So one shila came up in California is as follows. I was in Yula on Friday. On Friday. Yeah, I was in Yula on Friday, and one of the Rebbeim there told me that I was in Yula Boys. That's actually notable for the Shaila on Friday. And one of the Rebbeim there told me that one of his, that the students were asking the following question. They wanted to know whether it's permissible to use beef tallow on your skin as a moisturizer. And he said, I know that it sounds gross, but the kids are asking about this. Now, I was intrigued. What is beef tallow and why is it used on the skin as a moisturizer? So according to the internet, the skincare trend, which a lot of us first came across when Nara Smith used it as the bait, remember? Okay, I'm just joking. Used it as the basis for her homemade moisturizer, and which has since been peddled by reams of skinfluencers on TikTok, right? Apparently does wonders for the skin. It protects the skin barrier, they say, and can also sometimes help with acne. It's an anti-inflammatory. Truly, what can't beef tallow do? So, Shailiz, is there any problem in putting Nivela all over your face in order to solve your acne problems? Or probably more likely is exacerbate your acne problems, but be that as it may. So that is Shaila number one. Shaila number two, a rabbi, I might as well say who, my brother is a rabbi in California, and he is a mohel, as well as many other things. He's a Masader Gittin, and he does a lot of great things. And he's involved in Geirus every now and then. So there's someone that's going through a conversion who happens to be uncircumcised, and that's one of the more uncomfortable parts of the conversion process, certainly if a person is an adult. So my brother's a mohel, so he would normally be the one that does the milah. So this guy does not want a mohel doing his bris milah. He would rather have a urologist just do the procedure in the hospital. But Mila's part of the Geirus. He's like, yeah, but what happens if someone, he asked my brother, what happens if someone were to come and they already are circumcised? What would you do then? So he said, well, then we do something called Hatafas Dam Bris, which is just a little, a little cut, draws a tiny drop of blood, it heals within seconds, and that's it. So the guy said, that's what I want. I want that, not a Mila. So my brother's like, it doesn't work that way. You got to get a Mila. He's like, I'm not Jewish. I'm not chayiv in anything right now, right? So I'm going to go to the hospital now. I'm going to get a circumcision now. And then I will appear to you already circumcised. And then you're going to do the toughest dam bris. And then, we'll all be happy. So my brother wanted to know, is there any hesitation in allowing someone to do that? Is there, is that something that should be critical to the Geirus process? So we have two shilas for tonight. We have beefing up your complexion. Got it? Okay. All right. And no bloody way I'm letting you touch me. Okay. So let's take a vote. All those who would like to talk about beefing up your complexion, I mentioned it was Yula Boys, because what kind of boy is putting, whatever. Okay. So all those who want to talk about beefing up your complexion, zero votes in person. All those who want to talk about no bloody way I'm letting you touch me, all the votes in person. Let's see how our online voting is going over here. We have 9 votes here. 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 1, 1, 1, 2. Okay, so it looks like it's 2. Alrighty. So we're going to talk about... Wait, is Henry not here? Henry voted for 1. Okay, normally he votes both. Okay.
He will.
Okay. So he voted for 2 now. Okay. So thank you, Henry. So let's what did we say? We said we're gonna do the no bloody way one. So this happens to be a fascinating sugya, the whole concept of Hatafas Dam Bris. And what's it all about? I mean, if you can't do a Mila, like how many mitzvahs do we have like that? That if you can't do it, you just fake it? You know, like that's not a mila, right? When you do a tav zara, it's not a bris lechora. So the sugya of a tav zara bris happens to be a fascinating sugya, and it really revolves around two different passages in the Gemara. One passage in the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, and one passage in the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos. Mila, as we know, is critical to the gerus. In order to do a gerus, what do you need? What are the ingredients of gerus? As you think about it, I'm going to say a bracha. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shekol mi'abidvaro. So what are the components of geirus? Mila, tevila, and kabbalas al mitzvos, right? That's the basic components of a geirus. So mila is one of the critical components of a geirus. So what exactly does Hatavas Dam Bris accomplish? So there seems to be two conflicting gemaras. Because obviously there are some times where it's impossible to do a mila. For example, if a woman converts, it's impossible to do a mila. So what do we do then? You just don't do a mila. It's not part of the process for a woman. You just have tevila and kabbalas al mitzvos. But with a man who's already circumcised, so what's the story? So logically, there are three possibilities, meaning in theory, logically, you could imagine three possibilities. Possibility number one is leave it alone and convert him like a female. Meaning if a guy comes already circumcised, just like if a woman comes, you don't do anything. So a guy comes already circumcised, don't do anything. Just leave it alone. Logical possibility number two is what would another logical possibility
do? Do it again.
Do it again. Now, yeah, well, meaning that you do something, right? That you do some. You obviously can't do it again because there's no Erla there, but that you do something. You do something that mimics a Milo. Logical possibility number three is if there are three ingredients to becoming, what if a guy says, I want to convert, but I refuse to do kabbalas al mitzvos? What's the answer? Can't convert. What if he says, I want to convert, but I have this condition where I can't submerge my body underwater? So he can't convert, right? Meaning, so maybe if a guy comes and says, I want to convert, but I can't have a mila because I already have a mila, because I already have, I'm already circumcised, I already don't have an arla. So maybe you could say, don't convert, right? Those three are all logical possibilities. So let's go through two basic sugyas. There's a very short sugya Maseches Yevamos and a longer sugya Maseches Shabbos. Gemara in Yevamos Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, which is where all the geirus sugyas appear in Maseches Yevamos, quotes Rabbi Yossi that if a guy comes in front of us and he's already mahul, Rabbi Yossi says that ein matbilin barashi explains v'tzorach lahatif mimenu dam bris. Rabbi Yossi tarti bi'inan, that you have to do atavas dam bris, meaning Rashi is basing himself on a Gemara in Shabbos, which alludes to the idea of atavas dam bris, but essentially the Gemara in Yevamos implies that if a guy comes and he already has a mila, that we would still do something. We would do some form of atavas dam bris. Now, that is the shita. That's the impression that you get from this Gemara in Yevamos. The problem is that there's a Gemara in Shabbos in Perek Rav Elazar de Mila. It's a whole Perek in Maseches Shabbos, all about Mila on Shabbos, about Mila being Docha Shabbos. So Perek Rav Elazar de Mila, and there's a long sugya about a Tavis Dam Bris. But the starting point of that sugya is not a case of a ger coming to be Megayer and he's already circumcised. When else might you require a Tavis Dam Bris? What other circumstance might there be? So the starting point of that sugya is the other circumstance, which is nolan mahul. If a person comes to Beis Din, if a baby is born, and he's already born with the bris mila, he's already born without an arla, he appears circumcised already. I once had a Talmud in when I was a Rebbe in DRS, where parent-teacher conferences, the father came in, and he said, you should know, my son is a very special young man, he was born with a bris mila. So I said, okay, he's still failing Gemara, but there is such a concept of nolad mahul means a regular baby, that's a Jewish baby born with a bris mila. So it's a very rare condition, but the Gemara in Shabbos discusses what do you do with such a baby, and the Gemara talks then transitions into a discussion of Gershon is Geyer Kishuhu Mahul, and the Gemara says that a Tavis Dam Bris l'chora should solve a problem called Erla Kivusha. Arla Kavusha means maybe you think he's Mahul, you think there's no Arla there, but that it's just there's some deformity in the area where their Arla is somehow stuck underneath the skin, and by doing Atavas Dam Bris, you will solve the problem of Arla Kavusha, which would mean that it's not really just that Hatavas Dam Bris would not be a substitute for a bris, it actually is a bris. It's actually solving a problem of an Arla. If that were what Hatavas Dam Bris accomplishes, then it would turn out that it would make sense to do Hatavas Dam Bris on a baby that's born that way, because maybe there is an Arla Kavusha. But if you had a non-Jew who had a circumcision, and we know that he had an Arla, and the Arla has since been removed, it wouldn't make any sense to do the procedure on this non-Jew, because it's not really accomplishing anything, because it's not removing any Arla. So it sounds from that Gemara that there's not even any maskana of the Gemara, that you don't even have to do Atavas Dam Bris on a baby that's born Mahul, and Kal V'Chomer, that you wouldn't need to do Atavas Dam Bris on a ger who already had a circumcision. Why is that a kal v'chomer? Because if he's a ger who already had a circumcision, his arla was already taken care of. It's not there. We know for sure it's not there. There's no arla kvusha. So that's the problem, that we have these two gemaras, and how to reconcile these two gemaras is going to be the trick to figuring out what the value and importance of a Atavas Dam Bris, or the role of a Atavas Dam Bris, is in a gerus. So there are essentially 8, 9, or 10 different approaches in Rishonim as to how to deal with this. We're going to speak in broad strokes. So we'll mention 3 basic approaches. The first approach is the Shita of the Bahag. Tosos quotes a Bahag that Gershon is Gairik Shumol, Sorich Lahatif Mimenu Dam Bris, that you need to do Atavas Dam Bris on a Ger, who already had a circumcision, Vekata Shenolak Shumol, Ain Sarach Lahatif. But you don't need to do Atavas Dam Bris on a baby that's born with a Mila, which is hafuch from the way we just presented it based on the Gemara and Shabbos, right? We said, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, if anything, I would imagine that a baby born with a Mila should need Atafa, because he might have an Arla Kavusha, so he might actually be accomplishing something. But a Gershon, a Skyer, you're not accomplishing anything anyway. He doesn't have an Arla anymore. His Arla's already been removed. But nevertheless, this is the Shita of the Bahag, that we accept the Gemara and Yevamos, that a Geru's Mahul needs Atavas Dam Bris, and we accept the Gemara and Shabbos, which says that a baby who's born Mahul doesn't need Atavas Dam Bris. Aye, but shouldn't it be a Kal V'Chomer that if a baby born Mahul doesn't need Atavas Dam Bris, a Gershon Skyer doesn't either, right? So that's the problem with this approach. But nevertheless, that is the sheet of the Bag. So the Bag says, I know it doesn't make any sense, but the Gemara in Shabbos is only focused on Arla Kavusha. We don't paskin that the purpose of Atavas Dam Bris is Arla Kavusha. We paskin against that Gemara in Shabbos. We paskin that there's some other purpose of Atavas Dam Bris. What might that other purpose be? Now you need something, some maisa, to do the geirus. That geirus requires doing some set of actions. So tevila, okay, got to do that. Kabbalah mitzvahs, got to do that. So bris, you do the closest thing you can to a bris. You do something that approximates a bris as much as possible. A baby that's born mahul, I don't need to do a bris on a baby. So why do I need to do a bris? I only need to do a bris if he has an arla, because there's no geirus you need to do on the baby. The baby's Jewish anyway. So with the baby, you don't need to do Atavas Dam Bris. But with the ger, you need to do Atavas Dam Bris. There are different ways that the Rishonim have of explaining exactly this svara. Why it is that a ger, yes, Atavas Dam Bris, according to the Bag, and a baby that's null and mull, no Atavas Dam Bris. One explanation, for example, Tosos writes, is that the ger had an orla at some point, meaning the mechayiv of Mila is an orla. Is that you ever had an Arla? So the Ger had an Arla once. So what's Mechayev his Mila? The fact that he had an Arla. So he's still going to need a Mila. The baby never had an Arla. So the baby doesn't require a Mila. Others suggest, Tos Yeshanim suggests, it's just a Gzeres HaKasuv, that a Nol and Mol doesn't need a Tavs Dambris. And then others suggest, the Tos Yeshanim gives a logical Chiluk, which is the Chiluk I just mentioned before, that since the Ger needs it for conversion, so you need to do something, whereas a nolad mal is totally pater, meaning mila for Yisrael is a mitzvah. So when you're an anus, you don't have to do the mitzvah. But for a ger, it's not a mitzvah, it's a process. It's what he needs to do to be a Jew. So you got to make sure that you do it so that he can be a Jew. So that's one basic malach. Again, the basic malach of the Bahag is we do a tavstamris on a ger, but not on a baby that's nolad mahal. Second possibility is Rabbeinu Chananel. Tosus quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who says the exact opposite, that a ger does not get hatavstambris, a nolad mahul does get hatavstambris. And the logic is that, what's the logic? Why would a nolad mahul, yes, get hatavstambris, and a ger not get hatavstambris? What would you think?
The ger already did it. He already did the action of
the problem is that he did it, but there was no kavana l'shem mitzvah. If there's no kavanah l'shem mitzvah, doesn't count as a l'shem geirus. Sometimes you have a child that's born into an intermarriage or something and he's not Jewish, and the mohel might think that there's a good chance that one day he'll want to convert, so he'll do a milah l'shem geirus to so that he won't have to go through it again when he converts in 20 years from now. But over here it's not the case. This is a person who's just born totally not Jewish. I think the logic might be what we said before. No, we said that by the baby, what's the Gemara indicates, what's the reason for that Tavas Dambris? Because there might be an Orla Kavusha. By the guy who had a circumcision, there is no Orla Kavusha, because he used to have an Orla, it was cut off, we know exactly where it went. It's not some hidden Orla that's underneath the surface, right? So that's L'chora, that's the Svara. Now, it sounds like, from Rabbeinu Chananel, that a ger who's already converted, circumcised rather, just doesn't need a tavas dambris and he can convert without it. However, if you look in the actual Rabbeinu Chananel, he doesn't say that. He's saying that the ger doesn't have the capacity to have a tavas dambris because it won't do anything for him. It would be a waste of time, and therefore, says Rabbeinu Chananel, Ein lo takana. What does that mean? You can't convert him. A guy comes, he says, I'd like to convert. I fell in love with Judaism, or I fell in love with this Jewish girl, and now I fell in love with Judaism, or whatever, right? And I want to convert. So the answer will be, we'll ask him, have you been circumcised? And if he says yes, Rabbeinu Chananel says, you turn him away and say, sorry, we cannot convert you because you cannot get a bris milah. There's nothing we could do for you. So again, according to the Bahag, sure you could do it, because you could do a tavas dambris. That's who you do a tavas dambris on. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Chananel, you can't do a tavas dambris on a ger who's a candidate who's already had a circumcision, and therefore ein lo takana. And that's how the Torah in Siman Reish Samaches in Yerodeah quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. So there are other shitos. There is a possibility that both require a tavas dambris, and there's a possibility that neither require a tavas dambris, meaning both the geirus candidate and the baby that's nolad mahul. The Yerayim holds neither requires a tavas dambris, and the Rambam and the Balamar hold they both require a tavas dambris. It happens to be, how do we paskin? Who requires a tavas dambris? Both, right? We pass in the mainstream shita in Rishonim is that they both require a tavas dambris. So it seems, now, let's go back to our shaila for a second. Here's a guy, does not have a milah, does not have a circumcision. If the moel does it, the shame geirus, he will for sure have a kashra geirus, right? If he goes to the hospital and gets a circumcision, telling the moel, okay, now on me, I would like you to do a tavas dambris, according to the Bahag, okay, it will work, right? Because he's allowed to do Atavas Dambris. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, you got to send him away. Meaning he's going to ruin his entire conversion, according to Rabbeinu Chananel. It's not going to work. According to the Shitos, that they both get Atavas Dambris, they need to get Atavas Dambris, fine, you're not going to ruin anything. But according to Rabbeinu Chananel, you're going to ruin the whole. So the question really boils down to, l'chora, the question boils down to, are we choshesh for Rabbeinu Chananel? Do we paskin like Rabbeinu Chananel? Definitely not, right? Meaning we actually do have tavas dambris when we don't send away any geirus candidate that comes already circumcised, right? So we don't paskin like Rabbeinu Chananel. But over here, you have the option to be choshesh for Rabbeinu Chananel. So should we at least be choshesh l'chadchila for Rabbeinu Chananel? Right? That's really the shaila. So it's an interesting question in halacha that when you have a das yachid, when you have a lone shita in poskim, so to what extent do you say that it's been outvoted and therefore we're not going to try to be machmir to be yotze that shita? And to what extent do you say that you try to be machmir to be yotze every das yachid? When I was in Israel, I was asked to give a shir to the Mizrahi Smicha program. So they asked me to give a shir on the concept of Shas Hadchak. So I wasn't sure how to prepare the shir, so I looked in Shulchan Aruch in the end of Simon Reish Mem Beis in Yoredeya. The Shach has like 10 paragraphs about some rules in Psak Halacha that people often think, you know, oh, if something's a Hefsim Ruben, a Shas Hadchak, so it feels like it's enough reason to be Mekel, so we can be Mekel. So there's no feel like, right? I mean, there are rules. Are you allowed to rely on a Das Yachid B'Shas Hadchak? Is it only if it's Hefsim Ruben and a Shas Hadchak? What if it's Dindoraisa? What if it's Dindorabana? There are rules that are in play. So one of the issues over there is at what point do you say that a Das Yachid is something that you should be choshish for, at least l'chumra, and at what point do you say that a das yachid is just totally outvoted? It's very similar to if, let's say, a person wants to follow a das yachid because they believe that that das yachid, the Shach talks about, let's say I want to follow a das yachid, I know the majority of poskim say otherwise, but I learned the sugya, and I'm a chacham migia lo ra'a, and I know how to paskin, and I think that das yachid is right. So am I allowed to paskin like that das yachid? So it may depend, on whether that das yachid has been totally outvoted, right? What if that das yachid is shitas beishamai? So can I say I'm going to choose to follow? Are you choshesh for shitas beishamai? Is it a reasonable chumrah? I do this this weekly thing where I answer your shaila while you are shaila, your shaila. It's like a recruiting thing that Joko came up with. Joko came up with in Israel that the guys in the yeshiva send in shailas. And every week I record answers. So one of the shailas this week was, when is it a good idea to be makabel chumrah? So maybe I should have like messed around with all these shalabat guys and said, you should find every shita speshamai and be choshesh for every shita speshamai. Right? Meaning on sukkahs, you shouldn't have any meals out of your sukkah because Rabbi Lazar holds Rabbi Lazar shemuteh is tamid beshamai. You need to have 14 meals in the same sukkah and you're never allowed to go to another sukkah. So you should be choshesh for that. You should be, right? Oh, do we do that? No, we never do that. Why? Because it's outvoted. So the question is Rabbi Chananel totally outvoted or is he not totally outvoted? Right? That's l'chora what the question will boil down to. Rav Shechter thought Rabbi Chananel is totally outvoted. That Rabbi Chananel's, meaning, think about what you'd be saying if you tell this guy that no, we can't rely on we have to be choshesh Rabbi Chananel. You'd be saying to every other ger that showed up, you know, already circumcised, that his gerus is like, you know, but you have a kind of gerus, you know, you were yotze shittas Rabbi Chananel, but this guy's gonna be yotze shittas Rabbi Chananel. But then Rav Shechter pointed out you have another problem over here. The whole question does not boil down to just this one issue. Do you say a bracha when you do atavas dambres? Meaning when you do a mila, when you do an actual mila, you say a bracha. But what about when you do atavas dambres? So the Ramban in Masechta Shabbos says that it's a suffik. It's a suffik whether it's part of the mitzvah or not. So it's a suffik brachos, and he's lishita, so that a null and mahul you only do a mila because it's a suffik or lo kavusha. So you don't say a bracha because suffik brachos lahakel. So there's a question one could have argued. No. I'm doing this because I have a suffik daraisa l'chumra. Meaning there's din daraisa, you need a mila. So I'm being machmir to do atav zdan bris as a suffik daraisa l'chumra. And once I'm doing it as a suffik daraisa l'chumra, maybe I should say that the bracha goes along with it. Meaning once I'm doing the mila, suffik daraisa, so that's a machlokas rishonim whether you say such a thing. But we assume that it's still suffik brachas l'akel. The Balamar, who held that even for the ger, the requirement is only misafik or l'kavusha, so also would say you don't say a bracha even on a gershon zgayer kashum mahul, and the Rosh also says not to say a bracha because we're not certain that a gershon zgayer kashum mahul requires a tavs dam bris. So we're machmir to do it, but I'm not going to let you say a bracha on such a thing. The Rambam comes to the same conclusion also, that you do a tavs dam bris even by a case of a gershon zgayer, and that you don't say a bracha. But for a different reason. The Rambam puts together two examples of doing something without a bracha. The Rambam writes that a milas androgynous and a nolan mahul, you would do a mila on each of them, but without a bracha. But he only uses the term safek when he talks about an androgynous. He never uses the term safek when he speaks about a nolan mahul. And the implication is that he holds that there's no bracha on nolan mahul, but not because of safek. So then why is there no bracha if it's not because of safek? So in order to understand the Rambam, it's important to know a little something about Hilchos Brachos. The bracha on mila is normally al hamila. But if you're going to be doing Hatafas Dam Bris, you're not really doing a mila. You're doing a little scrape, a little scratch. So it's some substitute for mila called Hatafas Dam Bris, but it's not mila. Meaning you'd be lying if you said that you're, meaning right before you do the mitzvah, you formulate a bracha, ala mila, but then you're not going to do a mila, so it's going to be sheker. So if the bracha doesn't conform to your action, for a technicality, you can't say the bracha. Not because of the bracha zahakel, but because the bracha has to conform to the action, the bracha needs to be descriptive of the action. The bracha would have had to have been ala tavas dam bris. But there is no such bracha. Chazal never formulated a bracha called Allah Tavas Dam Bris. And we can't formulate our own brachos. So apparently it's a huge yisod, l'chora, that the existing text of the bracha can trap us into a corner and make it that we won't be able to say the bracha when doing the mitzvah in a way that doesn't match the bracha. Meaning really you should have said a bracha. But since there's no text that matches the way you're doing this mitzvah, you're out of luck. You can't say a bracha. Unbelievable, no? Rav Asher Weiss has a piece where he says the opposite comes up sometimes. Sometimes he says the bracha is formulated based on the way we typically do the mitzvah, not based on what the mitzvah actually is. He gives some examples. He says, the Rosh in Maseches Pesachim says that you're supposed to eat a kezayis of marar. Why? Because the bracha is al achilas marar, and achila always means the kezayis. Meaning the Rosh seems to assume that in a vacuum we would not have had required a kezayis of marar. The mitzvah would not have been a mitzvah achila per se. But once they were masakin a bracha of al achilas marar, so then you have to eat the marar. Now, why wouldn't they have just instituted a bracha of al mitzvah marar instead of al achila? It must be, says Rav Asher Weiss, that the Rosh isn't giving a reason that we have to eat a kezayis. He's just proving, he's saying the other way, he's proving that the mitzvah must be to eat a kezayis from the fact that we have such a bracha. He gives a few examples where we see that we have to make the bracha, conform to the maisa. But there definitely needs to be such a matching. So it turns out now that if this guy goes to the hospital and gets his circumcision, we're not going to be choshesh Rabbeinu Chananel, we'll still do the geirus, but he's costing himself, or the moel, the bracha. Is that enough of a reason to tell him that it's a bad idea?
It's like a personal choice.
What?
He's telling it's like a personal choice.
Meaning tell him it's a personal choice. I'm saying he's costing himself the bracha. Is that such a big, meaning is that a problem that he's costing himself the bracha? So Rav Shechter thought it's enough of a problem that you're not supposed to take away an opportunity to do a bracha, to say a bracha. That here you have a chance to say a proper bracha on a proper mitzvah. So mitam the mitzvah shabbo, okay, maybe in a chanami it's going to be the same geirus. But if you're not going to be able to say the bracha, you're going to be losing out on something. I'm not sure what the iser is to lose out on a bracha. Meaning if you're pater from a mitzvah, I'm not sure what the iser is to lose out on a bracha. If you steal a bracha from someone, you have to pay him asar zuhuvim or whatever. Okay, but that's what Rav Shechter thought. Now, Rav Shechter also pointed out, though, that the guy is not being smart. If you ever watch the way a mohel does a mila and the way they do a mila in a hospital, they're very, very different from each other. In that, a mohel knows what he's doing and will do it in like 10 seconds. In the hospital, they'll clamp him 18 times and they'll squeeze and pull and pinch and whatever, and it takes like 20 minutes. So it is much, 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 much more painful to do a mila in a hospital than to do a mila. A urologist who does a circumcision, he does a circumcision every couple of weeks, maybe. A moel does, busy moel, where I live, the moel, Rabbi Perlstein, probably does three a day, right? So, it's just, they're much more experienced, they're much more, And the Atavas Dam Bris itself is really not painful. That's not a big deal at all. I mean, it's easy for me to say, but you know, when I've seen it, because you have to do it in front of the Beis Din, it's that's probably the most uncomfortable part, is that the Beis Din has to watch, both for the Beis Din and for the guy. But it's really they just it's a little nick that they do in two different parts, because it's machlokas aposkim whether it's supposed to be done the mala min atara or the mata min atara. It's machlokas aposkim whether it needs to actually draw blood or just needs to redden the skin. We're makvid that it should actually draw blood, at least that it should come out on a piece of gauze and we should be able to see that there's blood, and then it heals in a matter of 30 seconds or so. It usually heals itself, and it's you know, the guy's ready to go to the mikvah a minute later or so. So anyway, Rav Shechter thought it wasn't smart nor right for the guy to give up on the chance of a bracha and to trust the hospital more than he would trust an experienced moel who knows what he's doing. Okay, everyone have a great job.
What was the answer to the first question?
What was the first question? Oh, the beef tallow? It's an old sugya about using treifa soap. So pashtus is that it's mutter, but there are poskim that are machmir. There are lach, I think, is machmir by using treifa soap. If it's roi lachila, if it's not roi lachila, then it's probably mutter anyway.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.